The series I'm teaching, which I've titled the Eight Simple Rules. Eight simple rules that you must abide by if you must experience the power of God. Eight simple rules that they are not, you don't have a choice. You have to comply with them if you must experience the anointing and the power of God. It's very, very important. If it's part of your spiritual development and you must invest in it, like you will pay those unis money, a lot of money to go to, or you go to a second degree and you pay a lot of money, a lot of time to go and do them. You must equally. So it's very interesting how we spend so much time and energy and money on this education, but when it comes to spiritual things, we don't rate them, we don't rank them. But I will tell you that your spiritual development will stand the test of time. It will direct you. It will lead you. You are going to make so many decisions in your lifetime. Your spiritual development will form the bedrock of your compass in life. It will enable you to say, God said, I said, or the devil said. What a great place to be in. And so you must live by this, you must live by these eight simple rules to qualify for this kind of lifestyle. Does that make sense? You don't make sense? So, you know, I was saying in second service that I'm not trying to boast here. But even then, the Bible says, let him who boasts boast within the sphere of influence that God has given to him, right? I said, look, with all humility, I carry God. And I said that because of the amount of investment I have put in. It takes a lot of investment of time and dedication for you to carry the anointing of God. It is more than somebody slapping your head with oil. More than that. It's more than paying a prophet somewhere and say, let me outsource my spiritual development to you and I'll go enjoy or rock myself silly, but you go keep talking to God on my behalf. It is called folly. Do you understand? And I'll give you a little bit of snippet from my investment in spiritual development. And this investment is based on the eight simple rules I'm sharing with you. And I've been looking at these eight simple rules for the past 2 weeks. So go to the vault, gatewaychapel.org.uk/the-world. Go and look for these eight simple rules. I had a challenge in 2009, I was telling a minister, I said, remember that thing that happened in 2009? I said, this was the source. Here. I said, oh, it makes sense now. I said, yeah, spiritual development. It is equivalent to the same emotion you put into your work, the same emotion you put into your education, you invest in spiritual development. Spiritual development is an asset. It's an asset. So the eight simple rules, they are your curriculum. They are not optional. They are not electives. It's not a buffet. Do you understand? And so we just got married, and God spoke to me that you leave this country and move to Cyprus. I did not know where Cyprus was, but I trust him enough. I trust what I hear inside my inner ears and my heart, enough for me to buy a ticket and go to a land I don't know anything about. Sunday. You understand what I'm talking about? You have to invest in spiritual development. Spiritual development has no respect for nations. A man who invests in spiritual development carries God. Do you understand? And you can carry God into any industry, into any nation, into anything you want to do. Spiritual development. Do you understand? I carried God into my career. They promote me and give me money without appraisal. How is a Christian sitting down and saying, Dr. Jumoke, they had the appraiser, and so they brought one man to do my job, and then you are telling you are speaking grammar. You're speaking grammar. Like speaking grammar. The depth of your root is what determines the height of your experience. The depth of your root is what determines the heart of your experience. You either go deep or you tell stories. But it is easier to tell stories. It is easier to tell stories than to go deep. It's easy to tell stories. It is easier to tell stories than to go deep. So we settle for the easiest way, be telling stories. So God gave us 8 simple rules to live by. 8 simple rules to carry the anointing, to carry his presence. He's coming. God is coming and he will visit you this month. But let me say this, he won't visit every home. Because that's the lies fake prophets who are after your pound sterling tells you that God visits every home. That's not true. God does not visit every home. God does not answer every prayer. I'm sure you've figured that one out by now. And God does not listen to everybody either. Do you understand? For God to answer you, you have, first of all, you have to create an atmosphere and an environment that God comes to. It doesn't go anywhere. I am a man. I don't go everywhere. I am an ordinary man. I don't go everywhere. I don't go to every house. I'm a man. If you invite me to your house, the first thing I'm going to ask is that, what's your commitment to the church? What's your commitment? I can't just say, am I hungry? Sit down, can I just start eating rice with you? What is your commitment to the cross? And what's your commitment to the kingdom? And what's your commitment? Why should I come to you? Because I'm your pastor. For what? That's not enough reason. Why should I come to your house? Why should I come to your house? Out of 700 people, I should just show up in your house. Why? Why? Do you know how many prophets you will invite to your house? They will be happy to rush down to your house because they are looking at your hand for blessing. What's your commitment to the house? Why should I come to your house? Why? And why should you even come to my house? Why? Before you come to my house, I have to measure your commitment to the. You have to look at your commitment as a Christian. And I'm just a man. Because I treasure my time. Do you understand? So if I show up at your doorstep, you are very weighty. Or if you show up at my own doorstep, you are very, very weighty. I will come to your house and sit down and say, do I know what you are carrying in your house? Do I know what's in your house? Do I know if you are a Jonah or a Jonas? Do I know? Why should I have you in my house? Do I know what's accompanying you to my house? My kids have never been sick one day in this nation. I have never found my taking my kids to the hospital one day in this nation. I should invite to my house. What am I saying? You carry your climate, you carry your atmosphere, and you invest in it. So 8 simple rules given to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 22. It says, rejoice always, number 1. Pray without ceasing, number 2. In everything, give thanks, number 3. For this is the will of God for concerning you in Christ Jesus, number 4. Do not quench the spirit, number 5. Do not despise prophetic utterances, number 6. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Number 8, abstain from every form of evil. These are not electives. These are the things that you must subscribe to if you must enjoy heaven on earth. Are you listening? And so the first one he told us, he said, rejoice always. Rejoice always. One translation says, rejoice always. The Message Bible says, be cheerful no matter what. Yeah. Be cheerful no matter what. He said, you don't know how I feel. He said, I don't care how you feel. But you don't know what I've been through. I don't care what you have been through. Do you want divine intervention or not? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a rejoice always. It's a be cheerful. So it's a choice. Be cheerful. He said, but you don't know how broke I am. He said, but that is not what we are talking about. In fact, it is because you are this broke. That's why you should be cheerful. The deeper you are, the deeper you are in issues, the more cheerful you should be. The deeper the issue, the, is there any word called more cheerful? Yes. I know there's no cheerfuler. Okay. be cheerful. Be cheerful. Let me give ladies a secret. If you don't like what your husband is doing, just be cheerful. I should tell them, that's something. It's funny, funny. Where's knee? Is knee in this service? Came for second service. I was going to pick on him, but he's not here. So if you don't, not that he's not here, if you don't like what he's doing, that's the secret. you know, ladies, you know, they don't like what their husband is doing, right? And then they are angry. That's because they don't like change. You can't say because you don't like what your husband is doing, you then violate spiritual principle. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, you need to see me when I was broke. I'm not broke anymore now. Look at my front line. This is Dr. Fred. He's a pastor of our Lagos church. Wait. So let me tell you my front. You see, him and his wife, they have a big house in the country where he's serving, in Lagos. In that house, I have a room. Nobody sleeps there. No, that's not prayer. Not hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You understand what I'm saying? So when I stress myself too much, God gave me Pastor Toju to make sure that I'm playing golf so I don't get stressed. You see my lineup? I can't, because once upon a time I was broke. Now, you see, Angela, the day you annoy me, I will tell her to pray. I've not played that card in 14 years. I've not been known it. If I ever tell her that, Angela, I'm not even very happy. This church member, I don't like what this church. She just say, go and pray about this. You just wake up one morning, all your tires are just down. when you get to work, they just serve you warning. Don't try me. Then have Pastor Femi. Pastor Femi is the only innovator I know. He's very, very, he's the way his mind spins is innovator. He can create, if we ever need to come up with something that we can sell tomorrow quickly to pay off all our, don't laugh. I'm telling you my lineup. Yeah, it's not nothing. And I've not cashed that yet. We don't have a product as a church because it's not needed. This, my wife, is the class of our own. This one, let me tell you, this one is a, if I feel like talking, 4 a.m. in the morning, so I don't talk to myself, I look like if I'm insane, I will just call. One day he came to my home, he sat down. The way I like to think by, I think with my mouth. So I called him, he sat down. And I started talking, this was many years ago now. I started talking, and I talked from about 8 a.m. to about 3 a.m. in the morning, and I asked him to go home. The following day he came back. Then my son looked at him and said, this man is... My son thinks that something is not right with him. Yeah, this man, right? If I ask him to slap you, he will slap you first, and then he will ask me, Pastor, what did they do? You don't have to try me. Now I'm yeah. I'm not trying. Yeah, you see this one. This one, he's there to just keep me. I love talking to him. He's there to just keep my heart bubbling. If I'm just looking at him, my heart will just be bobbing. So if I ever am going anywhere, it's what I want to put in my bag and just let's go. Because I know we're going to laugh, you know. He's my source of laughter. This man here, he's my divine architect. He doesn't have a lot of words, but his roots are very deep. Very, very deep. He's one of the few that carries my anointing. This man. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, since you are laughing, you already know. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Now, but listen very carefully. Now you are looking at 2017, right? This 2017. Let me move back and let's look at 1997. I just introduced 2017. 2007, I was living in a house. 1997. I was living in a house with my wife and two children. We were sharing one toilet. I had only one pair of shoes. My wife and I had only one pair of shoes. No, each. 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 Right? Right? In fact, when our second born was given birth to, we had no money for baby clothes, and God was watching. And we were in a church that was full of people like this. And in fact, one whole week, our budget as a family was £10. A week. £10 a week. Do you understand? But I want to let you know that was still one of the happiest and most joyful time in our life to date. The bigger that problem was, the more I was working as a traffic warden. When I come back, get back home, I say, honey, you would have thought I walked. When you see me telling my wife how the day went, if you are eavesdropping, you will think I work for Buckingham Palace. But I was traffic warden. You will think I work for what? Buckingham Palace. I was excited. I was full of joy, but we were very broke. The level of depth of brokenness deserves an MBE. But there is no brokenness in that category. So I can't apply. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, that bad. When we go shopping, we shop at midnight. And we shop for food that we expire that has less than 24 hours. Because they go for the pennies. 1997 in England, not in Nigeria. I come from a comfortable family. Then I'll tell my father my friend, pack them, I bring them, I can look after them for you. 1997 in a developed country. And listen, there are still people living like that today. But we were full of excitement. Leave home 7 o'clock in the morning. Go out and make some people sad by slapping tickets on their cars. Come back home. And it wasn't on commission. And I say, Bola, Bola, in Chelsea. Hey, Bola, I did one car today. But the car was nice. Come. Get into the car. I need to go show you where I did it. 7 o'clock in the morning. Seven. Now, if it is you, when you come back, the way you will slam the door, right? Because you are doing a job you don't like, right? And the baby will. In fact, your wife will look at you and just stay out of your track. Then you will stumble and just stumble. Why? Because you want to go and do a job you don't like, right? Everybody knows that you are doing a job you don't like. Your neighbors know that you are doing a job you don't like. Your friends know you are doing a job you don't like. So. You can never attract God. I would drive back to Chelsea. And the car we would drive back to Chelsea in was a rickety car. One day, I gave one car a ticket. When the guy came out of the car, looked at me, looked at the car. He put his hand in his pocket and said, I want to give you the keys. He said, because this car, by the time they find me, I can't maintain it. Can you? In fact, right now, I think I should sell the car so I can use the money to pay for the ticket you have just issued me. I looked at him, I said, yes, I want to. I've had enough. This car is a source of bad luck to me. I said, okay, all right. I said, let us see after work. And I bought the car. Before then, we had on that car, Vauxhall. The car was A-Reg. Not this A, the A, you know the A. The car, the back seat is not, the back, you are laughing. The back seat of the car is not fitted. So when we are driving to Chelsea, once I apply the brakes, yeah. Bola, the baby, all of them will just be, you know, and then we'll be so excited. Because I learned in scriptures in Genesis that Joseph was in prison. And in that prison, he was a cheerful person. Never once did he mortgage his spiritual atmosphere because he wasn't happy where he was. It says, rejoice always. Do everything within your power to be cheerful at all times. At all times. It denotes the ability to maintain peace and calm when circumstances around you are anything but peace and calm. Maintain peace and calm. Maintain peace and calm. Maintain peace and calm. And they be full of excitement. Because you know that there's abundance. Because you know that the principles of economics that you are trained on is based on the principles of scarcity. But in faith, you have abundance. You have abundance. And so the Bible says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. It doesn't matter where you are. Make sure that you rejoice always. Make sure that you are always excited. You are always excited. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said you should be full of joy. Full of joy. Doesn't matter what life throws at you. Make sure you are full of joy. Make sure you are an exciting person. So this is your investment you have to make. Now it's a choice. It's a choice whether you want to be happy and cheerful or you want to focus your entire energy on this thing that will be here today or gone tomorrow. It's a choice. It's a choice. But you must make that choice. And it's the first thing, it's the first thing you must learn about maintaining an atmosphere that attracts God. It's the first thing you must learn about maintaining an atmosphere that God dwells in. God dwells in. So I've carried God to two continents. I remember when I got to Cyprus. I wanted to go to Cyprus, and they said that I left my home country, went to Cyprus, and they said that for you to stay in this country, you need an employment, and the employer must file for your papers at the immigration office. That is the only condition you can stay in this country. Number two, you must do a job that no Cypriot wants to do. So you must go for the rejects. So instantly, I have to make a choice. Do I stay here because God sent me? Or do I stay here because, or do I leave because I hate this place? So, started counting down. 7 days. Gave me 7 days visa. Well, 2 days, a day to the time, 2 days to the time, I said, well, this is not going to happen. So I went back to change my currency. But to cut a long story short, I was arrested. They said illegal currency, trafficking of forged US dollars. Long story, not in this service. But to cut a long story short, I ended up in the police station. And at the end of the day, they said I should go back to my hostel. I said, nah, I'm going. The guy said, no, you can go back. I said, no, I'm going. Then I asked him, so how can I stay? He said, well, just go back to the office and tell them that you want to stay because you still have some money left. So I went back. And they extended my stay. Now look at how God made that happen. And so I went to look for a gentleman my dad told me about in Cyprus. And when I saw the guy said, oh, interesting, that the current chief of immigration comes from the same village as himself. That in fact, that we are neighbors. So I will call him and tell him that, you know what, he needs to give you a job. I need to find you a job, and they need to file in your papers for you. Look at that, in Cyprus. Then he said, oh, actually, thinking about that, I have a friend. I went to school with a friend. And in school, this guy used to mouth about his father owning a pig farm. I will call that my friend. I've not spoken to him in years now. But I will call him and find out if what he used to say then in class was true. If so, I will ask him to talk to his father, and his father will give you a job. That was how I ended up getting my residency in Cyprus. Do you understand what I'm saying? But even while I was at that farm, when Bola came to join me in a cow farm, we were happy. One day we sat down, I was asking her, we said, what has been your happiest moment all these years? And she said, ah, you know what I really, really like the most? I said, so when we were in the cow farm, I said, ah! Don't talk like that. Cow farm. I said, yes. So I love those moments. Or just you and I in a farm in Cyprus without lights. Can you imagine that? And she's saying that now, after I have taken her around the world. if I had known that is the thing that what are we talking about? Ticket. We just go look for all their farms in England. Do you understand? But that's her memory, memorable time. The time we spent. Why? Because she did not remember the circumstance, but she remembered the happiness. That means that we did not allow that thing get to us. You have no idea what it is like to live in that kind of environment. You can only live by your imagination. It is not the farm you see along the road. You know when you're driving on the M25, you see that, that's the farm pastor is talking about. No! Not like that. Oh, no. This is not European farm. This is Cyprus farm. You know what I'm saying? But we were excited. We were happy. Because we know that this challenge, two qualified accountants obeying God's voice and coming to a place and they find themselves in the rough like this, we know that our God is more than able. This cannot be our end. It's not possible. This cannot be our end. When we came into the UK living in a one-bedroom flat, a room in a house, queuing up, we know what, we were so broke. I mean, it was so unbelievable. And with the same thing, we were full of joy and happiness. We were involved in the church follow-up. We used to call people and ask them, hey, we didn't see you in church today. You will think the way we call people and say we didn't see them in church. The pastor did not ask us to. No, we were calling them on our own volition, out of excitement. Do you understand? Out of excitement, my shoes were filed. When I'm walking, I walk like that. Do you understand? I walk like that. My wife wears the same blue, what do you call that shoe? Is it tennis? Trainers. What's it called? Canvas. Canvas. Blue. When you see her, you think she's a nurse. What's it, nurse? You know those windows? You know those nice? It was only one, and it was blue. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It was blue. Now, service Saturday night. Which one do you like? Which one do you like? I said, okay, I like this one. And he said, why? I said, because I think this one goes with this, this is it. He said, okay. Okay. They say, okay, I'll go and wear it for you. I said, That's our routine on Saturday night. That's our routine. It was one. That's our routine on Saturday night now. Which one do you want? Can you imagine? See what joy produces. Right. So, back to Nii. He said, I don't like what he does. Just be happy. When he comes to the door, say, honey. You are the man. You are the man. You are the man, oh. You are the man that God sent to me. In your prayers, you will kneel down and say, Father, I thank you. You blessed me with this man. You blessed me with this man. Lord, I thank you. The father of my children, you qualify me to be a mother because of this man. He gave me a seed and I produced the seed, right? It did not terminate because of the grace on his head. Lord, I thank you. Genuinely. Genuinely. Yeah. That's how to do it. And then God will measure that heart of gratitude. When he's sleeping one day, in fact, you know how God does this? You see Adam. It's a swift operation. In a swift operation, he goes to bed one night, whoosh! He will wake up. Toyin! Toyin, how are you? Are you going out? Say, yeah. When are you coming back? Yeah. You say, since when? Why are you talking like this since when? When are you coming back? When are you coming back? Say, I want to go to Agwasa. Say, okay. Toyin. When he sees you, just be hanging around the house. I know he doesn't talk. He just be looking like. You know, he's not a man of many words. So what are we doing tomorrow? Say, why are you following me? Say, I'm not following you. That's how. When you get to work the next day, before you get to say, when are you coming back home? Come on, say joy.
Joy.
Joy. You will just possess him. Just possess him. Seriously, just as his complete annihilation. Just. When he comes, say, your birthday, your gift. That's how. Joy. How about your job? You want to change your job? Problem. You'll be so excited. Every day is your birthday. Week one, when you are coming, I got cake. Everybody have cake? You want a cake? Save cake. Eat cake. Everybody's happy. Eat. And you'll be happy. Lord, thank you, Jesus. I'm so excited for this job. I bless your holy name. My mates don't have job. Wow. Look, employment rate is increasing. I have a job. Lord, I thank you. Genuinely from your heart. And then when you are doing that job, you will do that as if you are the CEO. If you are a cleaner, if you are cleaning toilets, right? And my wife used to clean toilets. When you polish that seat, you come and look like. He said, no, I can't see my face. Washed. Yeah. So Lord, I thank you. This man sits on this pot today, they will know that I cleaned this toilet. Do you understand? I'll close with a testimony about a guy that was a night guard. He was doing this night guard working for one of our offices in the US when I was working for a former company. When I was working for the Fortune 500 company. But he was a Christian. Every day we go back walking, check with security, and he'll be laughing, we're walking, always excited. Unknown to him, they were always looking at him at the camera, a surveillance camera. He would check, always full of joy. And then one day he said, I work for this company, I work for this organization. Let me even find out this Oracle Corporation, let me even find out what they do. So he started showing interest in databases. So while he's standing on guard, he will be going through the manual. And then he would drop the book, go and do his assignments with so much excitement, you know. One day, true story, he sat there at night on guard and he was reading the Oracle database manual. For no reason, the MD just decided to come to the office and do one or two things. At night, Walked in and saw the guy. I said, "What are you reading?" "Oh, okay, please." He said, "No. Let me see that." Brought a book out. I said, "Wow." I said, "Do you know these things?" He said, "Oh yeah." He said, "Oh, I've been reading through these things. I actually have a degree, but I couldn't get a job. But I should just start showing interest." So I said, "Wow." You know, the MD said, "Resume tomorrow morning." Following morning, the guy dressed up in suit walked in. They said, "You look familiar." I said, "Yeah, I look familiar." "Sure. Look familiar. You look familiar." "Yeah, I look familiar." It was the guy, the security guy, sitting next to his boss, hired on the spot. That's US. When I was working as a traffic warden, I got a job doing in the office, ticket office. And on that road that leads to the office was PwC offices, number one embankment place, correct? I used to walk past there with so much joy in my heart. And I'm doing this lousy £12,000 a year. But where I come from, I'm a qualified accountant. I deserve a place here with my white and blue. Excitement, full of joy. This is where I belong. I will walk into the building like I'm walking, you know. Get to the lift, turn back. Walk away. I was doing that for years. Excited. Get to the court. I said, walk past the security guy. Before they went, walk back away. It became a game we would play. But 3 years later, God has blessed me this time. I was invited to come and meet a partner in that same building on a business deal. This time, genuine and for real now. I walked in this time, and I saw the same guy. Walked past him, I went back. "Hey, remember me?" He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, No. I said, "Just a few years ago, I used to come here and walk past." He said, "Don't remember." I said, "No, I'm sure you don't. It's been a long time. Great to meet you, Eddie." Bust the lift, had my meeting, and then came, walk back. Rejoice always. A man who does not know how to rejoice in the Lord and be cheerful at all times qualifies himself to be grounded. A man who does not know how to be cheerful at all times. You didn't say that. That's what your word says. You either comply or stay grounded. Stay grounded. Stay grounded. Stay grounded. You either go with the Lord or you keep complaining. Anybody can complain. Anybody can complain. Why should you complain if you don't want to do anything about it? And nobody cares what you say. The one that is listening to your complaint doesn't really care about what you say. He has his own complaint too. So what is the point? Swallow it and do something about it. But in doing something about it, opt for what God says you should do about it. Rejoice always. You are not the first to have a problem. Rejoice always. You are not the first to have a problem. So I just give you my own catalog of issues and how scriptures turned it round for me. Amen. Amen. Rise to your feet and let us pray.